Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to Aces Up the Sleeve. I'm Patty, co-hosting with the co-managing partners of Pocket Aces Racing, or PAR for the quick reference, Jared Shoemaker and Mark Wampler. And they are in today. We're going to do just a quick little, I feel like, availability episode, because we haven't talked about these available horses, I think, since late January, early February. So they've changed a bit. So I have both of them in here today to talk a little bit on how these horses have progressed since we talked about them last. But before we jump into that, you know, Mark, if you want to start, how are you today? And Jared, whenever you're ready, you can just chime in.
I'm great. I'm doing great as well. Couldn't be better. Happy. All good.
Well, then, do we want to just go ahead and just jump right in? Do we have anyone we want to start with, or do we want to just go down the line by order of the alphabet, in which case it would be Caracaro Breeze if we want to start with her?
That sounds like a good place to start.
All right.
Did you want to start, Jared? Do you want me to?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, the Caracaro filly, Caracaro Breeze, she's doing well right now. I'm looking at a picture of her taken when we bought her last year as a yearling. And if anybody, you know, can look at that picture on our website, and you can see in this picture that she's still up behind. And, you know, for those who may not know, you know, these young horses, if you see their hip up above their withers, you know that because a fully grown, fully mature horse, their withers and the point of their hip should be in line. And she looked quick. She looked fast. She, you can see that in the picture too. She just got a rocket engine back there. But, you know, we've always known that that front end's going to have to catch up with the hind end. And, but anyway, you know, we got her broke. We got her going. We got her to a point where she was pretty close to going to the racetrack. But, and this was 6 weeks ago. Probably more like a month ago, and her shins just started getting a little warm. She didn't buck a shin. She didn't get a splint. She was really never off, never lame. But we felt like, you know, had we pressed on her, had we kept breezing her, we could have created a real problem. We probably would have bucked that shin or something like that and cost us a lot more time. And I bring up what she looked like as a yearling because we even though we think she looks very fast, we have known for a while she had some maturing to do. And I think that's why we're seeing these shins get a little warm. Her body's just changing. She's growing up. And if we really press on her while her body's changing, we will create problems. So anyway, where we are now with her, it was about a month ago, 3 weeks, a month ago, when we started noticing that her shins were a little warm, and we backed off of breezing her. We gave her a little time off, backed off of her, and she started resuming her training now, and she's going great. The shin looks great. We're probably about a week to 2 weeks away from picking up where we left off, if everything continues to go well, and starting to breeze her again. So we've had this little period where we've backed off of her because she's changing. She's a maturing horse. She's growing. She's still just 2 years old. And I'll check and see if she's 2 year old. She just turned two. She turned two in April, not exactly a late foal, but point being, she's still young. So we've given her a little time for her body to catch up. She's training great, and she's a filly that from what she showed us in that first initial lead up to almost getting to the track, we're very impressed with her. We had high expectations because of the way she looked and what we thought she was going to be, and her sire doing so well with his first crop of runners. And I expect her to pick up right where she left off when she starts breezing again. I think she's a real exciting prospect, and we just had to manage it. We just couldn't, bash forward just to get, I mean, some people might have, tried to train her through that just to get her to the track sooner. But, we found there's just no good that comes of pushing on horses whose bodies are changing. So anyway, she's close to picking up where she left off, and we're still very excited about it.
Yeah. Well, as an update for her sire, he most recently had a TDN Rising Star as well, out
Oh,
of
y'all.
s
Yeah.
the I forget her name. I should know what her name is, but I'll
Kazaloo.
yeah. So yeah, she was a TDN Rising Star. She was that $775,000 topper that everybody talked about because it was like the three amigos, like the three, I think it was Pegram, Watson, and I'm sorry, whoever the third amigo is, I forget your last name. But it's like the big three in California, alongside the X-Men group, where if they pick up a horse and they paid a good amount for it, a lot of people pay a lot attention because most of the time they tend to run to expectations. And she definitely did. She earned a TDN Rising Star moniker, and she looked really good on her debut. And everybody has pretty much said the same thing. Like the Caracaros are very straightforward. They're very fun to train, and when they got it, they got it. They'll go.
Yeah, I at the end of the year, it's going to be hard for him to be on top of the list because he just didn't get the number of mares
Yeah.
that some of these other stallions did. But the last I saw, he's had four runners and three of them have won. And I'm sure, or I think all three of them are at major tracks. Del Mar,
I can check for you now.
Churchill. Well, yeah.
Gulfstream, Del Mar, and Churchill. One of them was the
Yeah.
stakes winner.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So they're not winning at small tracks. They're winning on the against the best competition. And son, this is why we bought a Caracaro. When we bought a Caracaro last year, it was kind of is he going to make it? What is, more we believed in Caracaro, but what were people's perceptions of Caracaro? When is this going to be a tough sell to people?
Yeah.
But he has delivered in spades. I mean, he being a son of Uncle Mo, I mean, he where there's smoke, there's fire. He's going to get bigger books now off of this crop. So I think he's going to be one of those style, I don't know if he's into mischief or Tappet or that remains to be seen. But one of these stallions that starts out inexpensive, didn't have the biggest race record, probably because of soundness, but was had the genetic makeup, was by a sire of sires, and started out inexpensive, and you're going to look up 5 years from now, 6, 7 years from now, and he's standing for $30,000, $40,000.
Well, and for context on the sire list, I just happened to look up the through the Thoroughbred Daily News on the sire list. I just looked up the first crop sires by earnings, by worldwide earnings, and he's currently sitting fifth on that list. The leader is Complexity, and he's had 85 foals, and then it's Vekoma with 129, Thousand Words with 89, Sergei Prokofiev with 80, and that is the he stands in England. And then it's Caracaro who's sitting in fifth with 39. Like that's quite a bit of a cliff cut off there. But it's like he's had four starters, he has three winners, and that's I mean, and he's already fifth in, he's
That's
fifth on the first sires. Like that's impressive in its own, merits.
the fact that he's fifth off just three winners tells you where those horses are winning,
Yeah. Almost three, just short of 300,000 in earnings. So it's like that's not chump change. Like these are racing at big tracks. If we do it just with the American list, he is fourth. And the earnings are 283,000 just off of those three winners. So yeah, he's doing pretty well. And he has a rising star. So
And so yeah, she is training well. We're just getting her, when you give these horses a little time off, you don't, obvious, I'm sure everybody knows, you don't pick up right where you left off. You gotta work back up to where you left off, and that's where she is right now. And so far all systems go. And looking at her bottom side, you see stallions like Warfront, Rahi,
yeah.
those are horses that take a little more time. and but they add stamina to the pedigree as well. And
Yeah.
we've always liked to see that when we see a lot of speed, we'd like to see some stamina on the bottom. We see a lot of stamina, like to see a little speed on the bottom. And she's one of these kind of speed on the top with some stamina that helps her carry her speed around the ground. But you got to wait a little bit for that. So it's just not surprising to me with her being up behind. Look at some of the sires on her bottom side of her pedigree that she's not running in April and May and June. I still hope, knock wood, she can be a fall kind of horse when the real 2-year-olds start showing up,
Well, and even, for context, like even if you look at what her female family, has been producing, which is her mom's family, for some of our newer listeners, we have, there's a bunch of horses in here where it's like 10 wins from 2 to 8, like Cesar Eduardo. He's a little further back, but he equaled the track record, at a mile and an eighth. And it's like, so there's, and he raced from 2 years old to 8 years old. So it's like there, it's there, they run early. They can run early. They don't have to, but they run forever as well. So that's like, so it's not, folks, we're trying to emphasize here is like, it's not an immediate panic that she's not, she's, that she needed to take some time. Like this is perfectly normal for a lot of horses.
So we've got we kind of stalled out. We've been stuck around 1.5 shares available in her for several weeks now. I think when she got the she, we were getting close to having her sold out, and then she had that little shin, and I think people kind of backed off of her. But I think people are potentially missing out on her in addition to these others. But if you've been looking at her and you've been thinking about her for a while, don't hesitate, because I think she just, it's just her body's way of telling us she needs a little extra time, and she's through that now, and we're moving on to the next phase.
And something that I wanted to bring up too is, we talk about this year in and year out perception, that because a horse doesn't run as a 2-year-old, there must be something wrong with it. And I'm not, year in and year out, we look up the statistics, and I'm talking through the end of their 2-year-old year, not just through September or August. Through the end of the 2-year-old year, year in and year out, only about a third of all any 2-year-old crop, only about a third of them are going to start as 2-year-olds. Most horses do not start as 2-year-olds. And I want to be the drummer of that news, letting everybody know that most horses do not run at 2. So and to me, there's a ton of reason for that. I mean, they're still growing for through that 2-year-old year. Many of them are still changing, still growing. So just remember that, for everybody, just because the horse doesn't run at 2 doesn't mean there's a problem.
All right, and that concludes just a little, kind of a tidbit, a new information, new updates for Caracara Breeze. So we'll move into Honorary, who is the dialed in filly. She was another one where we thought, just judging by her body type and judging that she is a dialed in, and dialed ins, were never super quick, fast, immediately off the blocks. We also kind of thought that she would need a little bit of time, and that's did, has that more or less been what's been going on with her? Is that she just needed that time?
I mean, she is what we thought she was when we bought her. She I dialed in like a filly that, I remember when we bought her, she had such a great frame. She was very athletic. But you could tell just that frame needed to fill out, that she was going to be, she looked like a typical pocket aces right up our alley. This is what we buy, the horses that don't look like they'll go 9-4, 10-4 at the sales, they've lost a lot of buyers, potential buyers right there, and something we can be patient with and have ready, hopefully at the tail end of their 2-year-old, early on in their 3-year-old season. And she's come along just as we thought she would. She's doing everything right. We got her broke at the beginning of the year, got her galloping leading up to Derby, and then we gave her a break. Just, I could have told you, or Kevin could have told you that, she was probably, we knew she was going to get a break after Derby, because she's just, a type of horse that needs time to mature. And so we gave her the break. She is at a stage right now where she started back up after a break. And when we start them back up after that break, what we like to do is spend the next month to 6 weeks, we call getting air in their lungs. And it's just long, strong gallops. You start off the process. We're not going long, strong gallops in the beginning, but we work our way up to long, strong gallops. And we do that for several weeks, and we call that getting air in their lungs. And once we're happy, they're at the right place with that, we start, that's when we start the speed works. And she is towards the end of that get air in her lungs period. She could work as early as Friday. And if she doesn't work on Friday, it would be the next time they work at Silver Springs where she is. So she's growing up, she's maturing, she's filling out, she's right on the time schedule we hoped she would be on. And she's the one who's had an update to her pedigree. Her half brother has done well. He did well up in New York earlier in the year. And so it's just with her, everything's gone really to plan. She's come along like we thought she would, and we're could be just days away from starting the real racehorse education with her, with starting speed work, and she's doing great.
Again, she's another one that I just love her. We got about 30% left in her still. I can't figure out what folks are waiting on. If you're looking at her, give us a call. Let's talk about it. But I think I think there's potential that people are really missing the boat here on a couple of these fillies.
Well, and I was sorry, I kind of disappeared for a quick second, but I was looking at her pedigree, and it's actually very, very interesting. Like for her dam, her mother's full sister is called Recepta, and she ran second and third in a lot of Grade One races. She was second in the Just a Game. She was second in the Diana Stakes. These are all Grade One races. The Matriarch Stakes. She won a couple of graded stakes races herself. Another full sister was second in the Jimmy Durant, which is a kind of like a staple for at the Del Mar meeting. And then also like this is and her grandmother was a full sister. I think it's a half sister to a champion grass horse, and a Breeders' Cup filly and mare turf winner in Soaring Softly. So this is a family that is very active. There's a lot of really good black type in here. So she's bred very, very well and dialed in, can throw his fair share of hard knocking, hard tough winning daughters. So she's got every reason to really, really step forward and really kind of, fill into that role and those hopes that we kind of put on her.
Yeah, that's another thing. I think of all the fillies we have out of this crop, she potentially has the most residual value. And over the years, we've started, instead of just moving these fillies along because we're a racing syndicate, we've retained them and held them as investments for partners. But now, as things have evolved, we're holding on to some of these fillies that have pedigree. They're fillies that we think we can make money with after their racing careers are done. And she has, looking at her pedigree, Soaring Softly, Mantaloon, and Recep up close in her family. And especially if she was kind of filly, she'd be one that we definitely, want to retain. Or if she was really, really good, something we could make a lot of money off straight away after a racing career. So that's kind of a double bonus with her. she's worth something as a brood mare, as is. But if she could come good, she's got potentially quite a bit of residuals of value on the backside.
Thanks, Mark. So that was our just a quick little update on Honorine, and actually a very interesting, maybe like a pedigree dive for her. She definitely has a lot of potential, no matter which way we look at her from what angle. So we'll move over to Secret Flame, who is the 2-year-old filly by Mackenzie. I don't know if partners, first time, any of our new listeners, any of our first time listeners or partners, if you haven't seen her yet, she is a massive, massive filly, but she's beautiful. Just on looks alone, if looks could talk, she would be screaming.
She's really coming into our own, her own. There are these horses we buy, and it happens to us, happens to everybody. You buy a yearling, and 6 months later, you've got this horse that isn't even remotely what you thought it would be. Most horses, they mature in a way that we expect, but some of them just, turn into a completely different horse 6, 8 months later. But she's gone all the right way. She wasn't an ugly duckling when we bought her as a yearling, but she wasn't the typical shape and size of a good sales horse. But neither was Temple City Terror. That's why we bought her for 22,000. But the frame was there, the athleticism was there, and I'm not saying she's going to be that good, but it's just a similar case where when we bought her, and we bought her relatively inexpensively compared to what some of the other Mackenzie sold for, the frame was there. She had the size. She had angles on her shoulder and hip. She was a good mover. She just needed time to grow into all that, and she has matured physically the way we anticipated she would. And it's very similar to the dialed in filly Honorary. We could have told you last year the way, her training was going to proceed all the way through the summer, and it's gone just like we thought it would. Got her broke, got her galloping, gave her a break around Derby. We started her back up, and we gave her a little longer break than we gave Honorary, just because she's an even bigger filly. And so where we are with her right now is she is in that getting air in her lungs situation. We didn't stop on her for any injury or anything like that. Just looking at her, assessing her physically, you could tell it was not a time to be pressing on her. So she got the time off. She started back up again a month, 6 weeks, a month ago, maybe 5 weeks ago. But and since then, we've been getting air in her lungs, working her way up to long, strong gallops. And she's doing that now. She is about a week to 2 weeks behind Honorary, because we extended her break a little bit. But she is, I got a video of her galloping the other day, and she is floating over that track. I was so happy to see how well she was going, how well she was galloping. So,
Bessie's moved since we got her, I think.
I was tickled pink after I saw that video that Casey Delacat sent us from Silver Springs, and I can't wait to see her start gallop or start breezing. And we're probably 2 to 3 weeks away on that. And knock wood, if everything continues to go the right way, she will continue on the same kind of development pace that we had anticipated, late fall of the year, early winter, start in Q4 of 24, as long as everything keeps going the right way. But she is close to starting to breeze, and just really happy with the way she's galloping. And I think she's going to be a route of ground, two turn, long striding, just, she's not, she just doesn't look, and she's not bred to be. She doesn't look like a 6 furlong, quick, small cannon bones, high stride frequency kind of horse. She's gonna be good. It's gonna be not by turning over real fast. It's gonna be by gobbling up ground, and a mile and an eighth, those kind of distances should be right up her alley. And like I say, she's going super right now. She's training great, and I can't wait to start freezing her.
Didn't they say Kevin? It was Kevin or Joey, I guess, one of the other day said something to the effect of, the faster she's going, the better she looks.
Yeah, right. And we've had a bunch of horses like that, and just every step of the way, they got better and better and better. They look better galloping than they did jogging. They look better breezing than they did galloping, and so forth. And she might be one of those types. Just the faster you get her going, the smoother she is.
Well, and everybody looks good in the winner's circle with a trophy in
Absolutely.
it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Jared, do we have, is she kind of in the same stalling as the Caracaro, or
Yeah, she's like kind of like honorary, and we got about 30% left in her. And in all three of these cases, these 2-year-olds, some of you folks listening, you've got your partner protection discounts on from a couple of horses that haven't worked out like we'd hoped, and we got some non-partners that probably listening that you got some first-time partner discounts, and we want to get these fillies closed out and sold out before we get really deep into the yearling season, even though we've already started buying some yearlings. The heavy lifting starts in September, and so we'd like to get these like to get these
We
three
gotta
fillies sold out.
clear out the 23s before we buy more of the 24s, right?
That's exactly right. Exactly. So if you're looking at them, you've been looking at them, you've been kicking them around and thinking about it, reach out and let's talk, and let's see which one or which ones of these are going to fit in your stable.
Well,
Yeah,
and we have that multi-horse discount too, so you can wrap a lot of these together as well, correct?
right. We'll
All
hook
right.
you up.
There you go.
I think the most important thought I would like to leave everybody was is it's probably not a coincidence that ones that still have 30% of them are the ones that are the most that aren't as forward as the others. They're a little more backwards. And I don't think it's a coincidence. And I would just want everybody to know, A, that most horses don't run as 2-year-olds. So, from the big picture, in reality, it's no big deal. And I think these two fillies are they're progressing just like we thought they would when we bought them. Just because they're not breezing right now doesn't lessen their quality as a prospect. Either one of them might be the best 2-year-old that we've got from this crop, easily. Who knows? But don't let the fact that these horses aren't breezing today, and they should, be breezing both of them very soon, but don't let that scare you off. It's very, very normal.
Well, and I think the TDN wrote about this recently, and one of the trainers actually said something very similar to your point, Mark. Storm the Court won the Breeders' Cup. I think it was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And from that point on, he's like 0 for 50 or something like that. And I think it's his former trainer. He even said he got good very, very quickly. But the problem for him was that he never went. He never took a big enough step forward from that point to compete with the horses who maybe he beat in that juvenile, who then caught up with him, who took big steps forward and caught up with him. So he is still running. He's still technically the same horse. He's still good. By no means is he a bad horse. But he's still a good horse. It's just that everyone else who was maybe behind him as a 2-year-old has now caught up with him and surpassed him going into their threes and their fours. So that's, I thought about that story as you were talking about that. That's very similar to that situation.
Do you remember that horse, Jared?
Briefly, but vaguely.
It was a wild long shot at the Breeders' Cup a few years ago.
That's the 2-year-old that June wanted us to buy at that sale, but we said we just couldn't buy a Court Vision.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He said he loved him. He wasn't going to sell for anything, and we just said we can't. How are we going to use a Court Vision? And I'll tell everybody, that's one of the lessons we learned. We learned a lesson out of that. You know, there, if it's a good athlete, we need to buy it, you know. With our budgets, you know, we can't go buying the most obvious ones, you know.
Can't buy the Justifies and the American Pharaohs.
Yeah, right. So, you know, and that was a horse that, you know, we liked him. Sure, he looks great, but we passed just because we were concerned that, you know, nobody would get in on a Court Vision. And it I'd say going forward, that was a big part of how we bought going forward, wouldn't you say, Jared?
Oh, absolutely.
We weren't going to let a quote unquote Court Vision scare us off again, you know?
Right. Yeah. If we like the physical, you know, if we like the physical, you know, it doesn't, the breeding is, you know, the sire, you know, the fact that it's a non-sexy, non-commercial sire is not going to run us out, out the door any longer.
And you're exactly right, Patty. He wound up being kind of, that was his Kentucky Derby. He was never quite that good before or after. He cost like $30,000-$35,000.
Which was an astronomical amount of money for that horse, for a Court Vision.
I think that was another. We watched him sell, but he still would have been worth having, obviously.
So that'll wrap the 2-year-olds. We do have one of the aforementioned 2024 yearlings to kind of talk about. So we picked, this is the Coat of Honor Yearling Filly out of Truly Louise that we picked up from the Fasic Tipton July Digital Sale. And, or is it?
June Digital Sale.
June Digital Sale, but sorry, June. And she, you know, this is obviously, she's got a nice little pedigree on her. She's by a sire who, you know, we're going to find out a lot about. You know, essentially, it's going to be, I think, an arrogant situation. We're going to find out just how much we missed out on Coat of Honor passing away as early as he did. But this is a very lovely filly, and she's got a huge stride on her legs for days. And she's, you know, if you haven't seen her yet, definitely go, pop onto our website, take a good look at her. But she has legs for days, and she's a looker.
At that price, she... You'd be hard pressed to find a better racing prospect at that price. She's a bargain. She's a steal. I really, really like her. I went out there to look at other horses that we were targeting, and I didn't like them as much as I liked her. I know the colt that we bought out of that sale has sold out. We had to spend more money for him. Probably because he had a 2-year-old winner half brother, and that's what, you know, that's what attracted a lot of our people to him. But don't miss out on that filly, because she is, I just, for that kind of money, it's a steal.
Well, this is one of those utility pedigrees too, because like Noble Mission is a full brother to Frankel, who is, if not the one of the most expensive stallions in the world this year. You know, Truly Louise is a Twirling Candy mare. Twirling Candy can really throw on any kind of surface as well. He's in that regard, he's very much like his own sire, Candy Ride. You know, and this is, you know, the second dam's sister is the Santa Anita Oaks winner. So, you know, this is, you know, then we have the Brooklyn Handicap down here, which is an even longer race. So it's like, this is definitely one of those, this is a utility pedigree. Definitely.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but Code of Honor is unlike any other noble mission I have seen. Is you know his race record anyway. I'm pretty sure he broke his maiden at Saratoga on the dirt as a 2-year-old, and he won. I think the majority of those stakes were on the dirt, so it would have been really interesting to see one of who had done so well on the dirt and done so well as a 2-year-old, what he was gonna what the kind of horses he was gonna throw. And when I look at the filly, she doesn't scream turf to me. I know with the pedigree and you look at the names on the page and paper, you would think turf. But as it stands right now, we'll just, as far as that goes, that's for down the road. We will see. But I just thought that was such an interesting race record for a noble mission,
From what I've noticed, Galileo, Leslie's Rose is out of a Galileo mare. So she's an Into Mischief out of a Galileo mare. So it's a definitely a potential cross that, and I think there was another kind of discussion I once had with somebody about the very much just kind of everyone stays in their own box that I think a lot of places have gotten into where we don't really like to commingle these pedigrees because it's never done this and it's never done that. And it's like I think sometimes the spirit of breeding is if you're going to improve the breed, you have to explore a little bit. And I think that's kind of what they did with Code of Honor because he hit all the traditional check marks. I think that a lot of breeders that are the commercial breeders look for. He was third in the Florida Derby. He was, second in the Kentucky Derby. He won the Travers. He won the Jockey Club Gold Cup. He won the Fountain of Youth. Like, he hit all of the check marks that a lot of these commercial breeders wanted, but he also had that pedigree that kind of let him essentially be a son of one of, what is the best, or who was, because Galileo has since passed away, but what, who was the best sire in the world and be able to take that and put that talent and put that ability onto the dirt, which a lot of people would have thought was completely inconceivable for Galileos, and they're doing quite well now.
So,
It is
I
interesting.
think one thing I'm wondering have wondered about, since she has not sold nearly as well as the brother and or not the brother, the other one by Code of Honor, and she kind of lagged a little bit despite how great she looks. I wonder if people are concerned, well, she only costs $7,500. There must be something wrong with her. And that I don't think that is any way, shape, or form the case. It's a digital sale. They're still kind of a mystery and kind of new, and we're all kind of figuring them out. So I think it's just
Well, I think I've got a great explanation for that, and for the other code of honor is the stallion isn't alive. He's not, I had to be refreshed. He's not, there's no ads for him. There's no buzz because because he's just passed away. I think code of honors are flying, all of them are flying big time under the radar because he's just not. And in that stallion game, you have got to stay in everybody's face.
Got a
Um,
side out of
it,
mind.
out of sight, out of mind. And I'd be into the code of honor right now because I think you can. The market's definitely low on him. He's not being there's no ads for him. He's not being pushed by the stallion station. They've got to spend the resources on other horse stallions that are still looking to get mares. So I think that was a big part of why we got those two horses for the prices we did, is the stallion's just, he doesn't have runners and he's not a lot. So,
Well,
okay.
and for the female family, it's not like there isn't recency. It's like it's a, when Japan takes an interest, it that's always a good sign because they have one of the toughest circuits in the world. It's one of the it's the best breeding outfit in the world. And so when you have a bunch of horses that caught the interest of Japanese people, Japanese buyers, people who come out and look for these prospects to bring home, that's always, it's always a good thing to see. when you, the because the Truly Louise, her half brother by Into Mischief, was a Japanese pickup, and he raced just last year, and he was third in the Capella Stakes, which is a group race, a group three for them out there. So it's always, that's a good sign when the international connections, especially the Japanese connections, take note of that pedigree. So I think she's got a lot going for her.
Yep.
So before we wrap up, that's it on those four. But I do want to do kind of a little honorable mention. We got Chemical Reaction, got 5% left in her, we got 5% available in her, where a couple of our partners had to bow out. One for health reasons and one just for some other personal and financial reasons. She is gearing up to get back into speed work after her little hiccup. And man, she's a beautiful, big, strong, gorgeous filly. 5% left in her. Take a look if you want something that might be, a little bit closer to racing, and certainly has displayed at least in the mornings that she's got a little bit going for
Yes. Yeah. She's we've been extra cautious with her. And she was just out of her first race. She was a little I'm trying to recall. It's been a couple of months ago, but we just didn't like the
gimpy.
way.
Yeah.
What's that?
Just a little gimpy.
She was just a little, we x-rayed her knees and ankles. We didn't find anything, but we got Dr. Hunt advised us to just back off of her for 30 days. She's still a young horse herself too. And that's what we did. And when you back off for 30 days, it takes a little while to get back to where you were. And where we are with her right now, she could be breezing any day now. And I would hope we're, 3 or 4 weeks away looking to, because we got to get her back to being race fit. But we've always been really excited about her, and I liked her first race. She showed us something in a very tough race, and so anyway, she's just now getting ready to start back up again, and could be ready pretty soon.
All right. I think that's it.
That's
All right.
everybody. Well, thank you everybody for tuning back in for this. Just, I guess it's a baby refresher on the availabilities, because it's been a hot minute since we talked about them. So, but thank you everybody for tuning back in every week and tuning in this week as well. Make sure that you are following us on all of our social medias. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram under Pocket Aces Racing. Make sure that you are also subscribed to the YouTube channel. We're cooking up some plans to start getting some longer form YouTube videos out there. So make sure that you are subscribed. We're also under Pocket Aces Racing. Make sure that you have hit that bell so you get those notifications when those videos start going live. And if you haven't seen it, check out our little mini series that we did on the Belmont at Saratoga Festival. We had a lot of really good video interviews that popped over and became podcast interviews. We're going to see if we can get a few more of those folks on there. I know last week we had an interview with Naja Thompson. So definitely tune in for that interview. It's already been posted, so you can pop onto our homepage on Cast Off and you can check those out. But other than that, as I tell everybody, have a happy Wednesday, have a good Wednesday, make good choices, and podcast is out.